lift him up. He is worthy. Hallelujah.
I know you called me.
was shed on Calvary's tree just for us. You did all that just for us, God. And we just thank you this morning.
Says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You know what is amazing is when you recognize, when you sing that song, this is the one thing the devils are most afraid of. You see, it's the blood of Jesus that washes not only every sin away, but defeated every devil in hell, including Lucifer himself. So today when you come in, man, you're dealing with things in your life and you're saying, well, you know, it's this person or that situation. We fight not against flesh and blood. I don't think you heard me. I said we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and rulers of spiritual darkness. You need to recognize that this is not a physical fight. This is a spiritual fight. And when we're worshiping, it's not just to hear the band play and you guys sing beautiful. That's nice. But what happens is this, is as you begin to worship, the power of God is released. And what happens is it starts breaking those things in your life that you came in here all laden with. God wants to set you free, and free indeed. But that means you've got to worship. That means you've got to apply the blood, not just for your sins, but to get the devils all scattered. Can I hear an amen? In the name of Jesus, Father, we take authority over every devil in hell, Lord, that has an assignment against us in our lives. And we declare that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We declare that, God, we have victory in the name and the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, we apply the blood over our lives. We, Lord, surround ourselves with a blood fence in Jesus' name. And we declare every assignment canceled in Jesus' name. Lord, we will worship you in spirit and in truth because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Come on, sing this with all you got. Come on, sing it with everything you have. Anointing here this morning for people that are having intestinal problems. If you'll just put your hand, if that's you, put your hand right on your intestines right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I just release the healing power of heaven right now upon the intestinal tract of everyone that's in this room and everyone watching by live stream. I release the anointing of the Holy Spirit right now. Get ready. Go. In the name of Jesus. I arrest every sickness and every disease that tries to get into the intestines of every believer that's watching and listening right now. And I command that sickness, you spirit of infirmity, by the power in the blood of Jesus' name. Get ready. Go. Now. God, we give you honor and praise. For Lord, you are our healing God. Lord, you are so good to us and we love you this morning. In Jesus' name, everybody said... Everybody said, why don't you go greet 4 or 5 people that you don't know this morning? Let them know. Good morning. You look just marvelous today. Hallelujah.
The most say God way,
say God,
on your mama way,
on your way.
In a memma,
she go back
in a memo, be satisfied. In a move, time, all a million of move, time, time, move, try, on your mama way,
up time,
you are the
most sad.
Chuku, the memma, on another,
you are the most sad.
Hello, ladies, it's encounter time again. We want to invite you out to our next God Encounter, June 2nd, Thursday night at 7 p.m. to June 4th. This is a time that we set apart for God, where we go away, close ourselves in, and really meet with Him. One of the words that's been used to describe it is like a catapult. So you'll be thrust forward in your relationship with God. Make sure you get your $100 deposit in as soon as possible. There are only 16 spaces for this encounter. So make sure you sign up in the next 2 weeks. Your deposit is due. The total amount, $325, gives you two nights alone with God, all of your meals, and your encounter time. Make sure you sign up today.
Where's the body?
I already told you, I don't know where the body is.
This would be a lot easier if you tell me where the body is.
Tell you where the body is, man. I don't even know anything about that.
I'm only gonna ask you one more time. Where's the body?
I said I don't know!
Hey HT, we have Easter Egg Hunt coming up March 26th, starting sharp 11 a.m. So make sure that you invite your friends, your family. Again, we're going to be doing 6th grade and under for ages. So be here. We want to be able to show the love of Jesus. And remember, we're here to get Easter eggs.
Praise God. I'm back here live again to let you know that we're closer to the special event for our pastor, Michael Spencer. Listen, the birthday gala is going to be taking place April 1st at the Harbor Inn in Watkins Glen. You still have time to get your tickets. Listen, I've got my ticket. I've got my wife's ticket. We're going to be there. I'm looking for you to be there. Why don't you do this right now? Click on the website as you see it below me and get your ticket now. Let's celebrate Dr. Michael Spencer for his birthday.
That was a pretty clock, wasn't it? How's everybody doing this morning? We'd like everybody to grab your phones real quick and make sure you check in. Anybody check in yet? I'm doing it right now. Where am I? I'm at His Tabernacle Family Church. What a great place. How many of you love the house of God?
Amen.
Amen. We want to thank you all for being here. We want to welcome all of our guests this morning. If we could have the lights up real quickly. We'd like to welcome all of our guests. If you're a first-time guest at His Tabernacle Family Church, we'd like you to raise your hand. We're not going to embarrass you, make you stand up or anything like that. But if you're a first-time guest, young lady right over here, very good. Is there anyone else this morning? You're a first-time guest. Oh, young lady right there. Very good. Welcome. Anybody else a first-time guest this morning? We want to welcome you. How many of you say HT plus one? Well, you're kind of quiet this morning. That's why we did some blood songs. Shout it out loud. HT plus one. That's right. HT plus one. This month, the month of March, everyone brings a guest We want to encourage you, bring one person that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You're looking around, and I think our crowd is down by at least a third. It's because they're still sleeping. You'll see them arrive at 10 a.m. We'll wave at them. They'll probably go to breakfast and come back for the 11 service. So we just want to say we welcome you. Can we give all of our guests a hand clap this morning? Thank you so much for being with us. We want to welcome all those that are watching by live stream right now. And we want you to know we love you. You're our online campus. And if you're watching by live stream, we'd love to bless you this morning. This is a His Tabernacle decal special just for those that are online and watching His Word TV. So if you'd like one, you can email at histab@histabernacle.com. You know what I've got? 10 more HT His Tabernacle Family Church stickers for your car. Who would like one? No, I'm not giving you one. You want one, Rhonda, you got to come get it. Look at that. Two left. Bam. Too late. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh, we got an extra one? Oh, she's so sweet. We want to encourage you. Make sure you put those on the outside of your car, please. Not on the inside. You'll be having to play the ambulance trick for people to see them. How many of you saw at least one His Tabernacle Family Church sticker this week driving up around the roads? There you go. His Tabernacle. We want to make sure that we fill every car with one. Now, we do have people in the house that simply say, Pastor, I drive so badly, we don't want to put one on my car. And I want to encourage you, get saved. Hallelujah. Don't drive so badly, put it on your car. Because you never know, that might be just a witness to somebody. Somebody asked us, what is that sticker about? Is that like a bar or something like that? No, man, that's the church. That's the kingdom of God. We represent in our community. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So we want to just say, we're so excited. God is going to do great things. I heard it's been really, really warm this week. How many of you enjoyed the warmth? Yes. Not everybody's enjoyed the warmth. You want it to go cold again?
No.
No. Oh, so you've enjoyed the warmth. Can you give God a praise for the warmth?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Get him.
Amen. At this time, we are getting ready to receive our tithes and our offerings. And I want to talk real quickly about our tithe and being stewards of our finances. You see, God is the owner of everything. The Word of God says that He is the owner, and we set Him as King of everything, as Christians and as people that serve Him. And so the tithe is simply the part that He says that's set aside for Him, that's holy, that piece. But He's actually the owner of all things. He's the one that gives us the breath, the abilities, the talents, and the gifts. In Matthew 25, it talks about the king that went away, and he left talents for his people, and they were to do with it and to bring a harvest. It's much like that in the kingdom of God. That's the example that he's giving, is that he is the king. He's the owner of everything. He's given us gifts and talents, and he calls us not only to tithe 10% that's holy, and he says to test him in that, but he tells us that we are to be good stewards of the other 90%. So I want to challenge you, as the family of God, we need to be good stewards in our money. Not just giving the 10% that is holy, but He's the owner of all of it. And He's coming back someday, and we're going to be able to say, this is what I've done with what you've given me. And I want Him to look at me and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. We need to be good stewards. God is the owner of all of it. And when we give our tithe, we're declaring He is the owner of all things. He's the giver of my breath. He's the giver of my gifts and talents. He's the giver of all of it. Here's my 10% to honor you. And here's my stewardship to show my obedience to you, God. And in that, He says, He will open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessing, and I will never see the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging for bread. Those are our promises we get to stand on as children of God. Now, last week, we presented to you an opportunity to seed for our summer outreaches. If you are able to continue in seeding towards that, we made a little dent on that, but we have a large opportunity to sow and transform our region through empowering pastors, which really affects churches and communities all over the place, through Uproar, which has had a phenomenal impact on all of our youth. And then we're going to be in the parks again this year. We are changing this culture and this region, and your seed is powerful. So if you have that and you're prepared to give that, just mark Summer Outreach Seed on your envelopes so that we can tackle that and we're able to produce an abundant harvest for the kingdom. Are you ready to give this morning? Stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration to our owner and our king that we not only tithe, but we will be good stewards of everything he's given us. We're going to repeat Deuteronomy 28. It's our declaration. It's simply the word of God. And it says, if I obey, I'm blessed going in. And I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and give your tithes and offerings to the Lord.
I know you're for me. You're not against me. You only have good thoughts about me. I know you love me. I know you've called me. I know you've got great things planned for me. Oh, what a joy you've given me. Your love has set me free. Jesus, you are all I need. I'm gonna praise all of my days.
Oh, Praise the Lord. This is the year of. I said, this is the year of. You know, for those who are our guests, we just want to say what we do every single year, God gives us a theme, and we have a verse for the year. And our verse for the year is found in Psalms chapter 1, verse 3, and it says this, "And you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall fail." What? Shall what? Whatever he does will barely make it by. Whatever he does, hope and wish that it might work out. Whatever he does shall. Whatever he does shall. Whatever he does shall. God wants you to prosper. Turn to someone and say, God wants you to prosper. That means that we have to be wise stewards of seeds. And the challenge that we've been having is making sure that the seeds that God has given us are being planted in the right area. You see, when seeds are not planted in the correct arena, then what happens is you are still going to get a harvest. Turn to someone and say, no matter what, I'm going to get a harvest. You see, that's the truth. No matter what you do, you're going to get a harvest from. For seed time and harvest will never stop. So every one of us, every single day, are planting seeds. And I want to challenge you today to be a wise steward of the seeds of your life that God has given you. Because the Lord wants you to prosper and not to fail. In that, we need to make sure we're putting it in the right ground. Can I hear an amen? How many of you know that your ground is everything? What's interesting is we're going to be preaching a whole series on dirt. Turn to someone and say, he's preaching on dirt. Not this morning, but I'm going to preach on dirt. Why? Because it's not just the principle of the seed, the kingdom of God, but also where you put the seed also determines what type of harvest you are going to have. So you can have good seed, but bad dirt. Let me say it one more time. Good seed, but bad dirt. You see, if you're putting your seed in the wrong place, you're going to not get the harvest that you're anticipating. This is why so many people are frustrated. Well, I prayed and nothing seemed to happen. Well, I prayed and that's not what I got. Well, why is that? You see, if seed time and harvest always works, then why are we receiving the seed that we have in our lives? And what do we need to do to change so that we can get the harvest that we are planting for? That is all determined not by God, but by you and I. And this is where today, I want to talk about something that's very rarely spoken about in church. I want to talk about idolatry. Want me to do a handheld? I'm going to do a handheld. We're going to pause for just a moment. Yeah, but I... I like that, Big Mike. Idolatry is a topic that very few churches are talking about because it's an uncomfortable topic. You see, we live in America, and how many of you know that we're blessed in America? Come on now, I can't hear you. How many are shouting, I am blessed in America? But with the blessing, many times, we take our dependence off the one that we should be serving. You see, this is one of the blessings in many other countries where they have nothing. Like when we go to different countries and pray for people, they receive prayer easier because they have more dependence upon God because they don't have all the amenities that we have here in America. You see, we're extremely blessed in America. And I don't know, I don't find that to be a curse. I like that. How many of you would rather be blessed than cursed? How many would rather have abundance than lack? How many would rather have prosperity rather than losing? Amen. Listen, somebody said, well, you know, money is the root of all evil. That's a lie. Money is not the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. We're back to the principles of learning what idolatry is, because understanding idolatry means that we're going to take the correct seeds and put them in the right ground, therefore get the harvest that we're anticipating.
So this morning, I want you to open your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Exodus chapter 20. And I'm going to preach quickly today because I have a lot to cover. And I want to make sure that this message gets seated in your heart. Now, I challenge you in today's message that you will allow the Holy Spirit to convict you. I'd like you to just bow your head real quickly and pray this with me. Dear Jesus, I pray that you'll convict me of anything that I'm making an idol in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Exodus chapter 20 of the Ten Commandments. Now, a lot of people say, well, you know, the Ten Commandments, that's old covenant, not new covenant. I want to remind you that Jesus did not come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill the law. That the principles within the law, the Bible declares in the book of Matthew, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your mind, your body, soul, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you do these two things, you've completed and fulfilled the law. Well, when we look at those two things, you can see that every one of them are integrated within the Ten Commandments. Now, one of the Ten Commandments that is so powerful that many people read over because we don't do things like every other nation. Let me read that verse to you. Verse 3 and 4, it says this. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth below, or that is in the water under the sea. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. You see, this is the term idolatry. It means when we put something before God. When we raise something or someone higher than God himself, that is then what you worship. Now, a lot of us say, well, I worship Jesus. And the Bible declares that our hearts say, our mouths say one thing, but our heart is far from him. And God wants to bring us to a position of truly evaluating where and what our true God is in our life. You see, I'm just going to be straight with you. I am absolutely convinced that most people in most churches will wake up when they die on the wrong side. I believe that many people are truly convinced within their mind for there's a way that seems right unto man that leads to death. There's a lot of people that go to church, and they're very religious people, but yet they do not love God with all of their heart, their mind, their body, soul, and their strength. They're to a place where they are one foot in and one foot out. They're serving God one way, the Bible declares, they are neither hot nor cold, so I will projectile vomit them out of my mouth. You see, there are a lot of people who have lip service, but their heart service is not there. And this is, I'm not talking to the world. I was preaching or teaching in the Bible college, and I was teaching about the book of Revelation and the church of Laodicea that's neither hot nor cold. And in verse 20 of chapter 3, it says this, and Jesus said this, I stand at the door and knock. If any man opens the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. And we use that verse all the time for sinners, for people to get saved. But he's not talking to sinners in that verse. He's talking to his church. There are many that have extrapolated Christ from the body. There are many that have extrapolated Christ from the church. There are many that hold just enough of Jesus, or they think so, to get them to heaven and live like hell. And this is a principle dealing with idolatry. And today I just want to be forthright. You don't mind me doing that, right? You want me to get to you to a place to where your dependence is on Christ. Can I hear an amen? How many of you would rather be lied to and when you wake up on the other side, realize I've been lied to? How many of you would rather have truth put before you? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So idolatry is anything that we place before God. Now, in other countries, you need to recognize that there are other gods all over the place. There are Buddhas. Man, you go into a Chinese restaurant, you're going to find what? You usually look around, there's a Buddha somewhere. They have the Buddha in a shrine. But there are many people in America that call themselves Buddhists. And what they do is they go and they get a Buddha.
Buddha, Buddha, Buddha.
They get themselves a Buddha. I really wanted a live Buddha. Buddha, Buddha, Buddha. They get themselves a Buddha, and what ends up happening is this, is they will literally create a shrine, and they'll go in and pray to Buddha. Buddha is dead. Why are you praying to a fat, dead god? You see, when you pray to Buddha, let me tell you what you get. Nothing. He's dead. He can't hear you. Buddha is dead. Then there are Hindus. Oh, my goodness, there are gods. They have over 30 million gods in Hinduism. 30 million. Now, in Bible college, I had friends of mine who came from India, and some came from Pakistan. And Hinduism in that area was really strong. And what they found was they would pick up a rock, and they would put it in a shrine, and they would worship that rock. Now, there are two types of toilets in India, the Western toilet and the Eastern toilet. I know it's not a pretty experience, but it is true. I was told this by my friend from Bible college. You would use the Eastern toilet. You would go behind a tree or behind a dune, and you would pick up a rock and wipe yourself and throw that rock. And then somebody would pick that rock up and worship that rock. All kinds of gods you could ever imagine. You see, this is not just the Buddhists and not just the Hindus. Not just, there are so many others that we could say that would really irritate people and make people angry. Where they have literally created a graven image and they pray to a graven image. Even in churches. The issue is this, is that God made a declaration that you shall worship no. We very rarely go and pick up someone's rock. We very rarely, thank you, amen. We very rarely ever go and go down to the street and say, listen, I know you're a woodworker. Could you make me a Buddha, Buddha, Buddha? Very rarely do we go and we do those kind of things. So in Americans' mindset, when we think about idolatry, it's like, well, I don't do that. Well, that's not just me. I don't ever do that kind of stuff. But today I want to confront us on American idol worship. And I'm not talking the TV program. It is a good show. Today I want you to recognize that every god that we put before him, if you are born again, if you're born again, shout, I am. You recognize that God is jealous. Now, jealousy can be sinful because the word of God declares it, or it can be righteous. True jealousy is one where the love is so powerful that they want to protect the person that they have. Now listen, when you gave your heart to Jesus Christ, you surrendered your life to him. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. But the mouth confession is made unto salvation. When you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're surrendering your life to Christ. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live according to the faith of the Son of God. We know that when we give our hearts to Jesus, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When we give our hearts to Jesus, we know that we now become the very temple of the Holy Spirit. You once were in darkness, but now you're in light. You once were dead, but now you're alive. That when you are in Christ, it is not just a religious experience, not just a joining of a church, but you literally now are possessed by God himself, and you are a son and a daughter of the Most High King. You are a citizen of heaven. Now, with that, we need to recognize, even in America today, we're struggling with those who hate America. They serve another country, yet call themselves citizens of America. We look at them and we call them traitors. And in America, we are getting to a place, and many have dealt with this, of getting to a place of disdain for that attitude. Burning the American flag on the American soil is pretty brazen. Can I hear an amen or oh my? But yet we go to church and we have many other loyalties. We serve more than one country. And then we get mad at God when he doesn't answer us the way we desire. Or when our life does not turn out the way we want, we don't recognize that we're the ones who have planted the seed in the wrong place. And when we plant it in the wrong place, we're still going to get a harvest. And the harvest that we get might not be our desire, what we want to acquire. Now we get mad at God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and say, where are you? And God is saying, no, where'd you plant your seed? I can't hear you. And the Lord wants you to recognize that he is not a good sharer. Turn to someone and say, God is not a good sharer. And God will never allow his glory to stand alongside an idol. Let that sit. God will never allow his glory to stand alongside an idol. Now we see this in the book of 1 Samuel. It's amazing. Has anybody ever heard of the Philistines? You've heard of, you know, a little boy named David. What's that song go? Only a boy named David, only a rippling book, only a boy named David, but five little stones he took. I don't know the rest of it. Here we go. So move on. We talked about the Philistines. You know, David put the stone in the sling and slayed the giant. And why did he? Did you ever wonder why he picked up five stones? Well, he was afraid he was going to miss. No, he wasn't. The reason he picked up five stones is because Goliath had four other brothers. And if they weren't smart enough to run tail when he cut his head off, then he was going to have to take them out too. But the Philistines are the ones, they fought against Israel on a consistent basis. And one day, they fought against Israel, and they actually won because of the disobedience of Israel. I want you to recognize that every time you disobey, you lose. Amen. Every time you disobey, you lose. Every time you do not stay in obedience to the Lord, you step out from underneath the covenant promises, and therefore now your seed is being placed in locations that you don't want the harvest to come from. Can I hear an amen or an oh my? But you see, God is one who will never share. The Philistines, they beat the children of Israel. And one day what happened when they beat him, they took the Ark of the Covenant. Now, the Ark of the Covenant always represented the presence of the Lord. So the Ark of the Covenant now was not in Israel's possession, but was in the Philistines' possession. And what they did was they took the Ark of the Covenant and put it into the temple of Dagon, their god. Now, Dagon was a god that represented fertility. And he was a man fish. On his back was a large, like, koi fish that went from the back of his knees all the way up to the top of his head. And that was Dagon. He had hands. He had a man's face on one side and fish head on the other. And here we have the presence of the Lord now, the glory of God now, the power of God now in the temple of an idol of another god. And I want you to see how jealous our God is. He will never allow his glory to stand with an idol. Let me say it again. God will never allow his glory to stand with an idol. Say it one more time. God will never allow his glory to stand with an idol. The Bible says the next morning they got up and something happened to Dagon. Dagon, their god, fell over forward and literally was laying at the altar of God Almighty. They decided we should pick our God up. They picked their god up, their statue, their idol. They stood it back up. They all went to bed because everything was all good now. They got up the next morning, and not only did Dagon fall down, but his head was now dislocated, and his hands were now dislocated. I want to read the verse to you because there's a key in here that you need to understand. 1 Samuel chapter 5, verses 2 through 4. When the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. And when the people of Ashdod arose early in the morning, there was Dagon fallen on its face to the earth before the Ark of the Lord. Recognize God will always strive to bring your God down so that he may be who he is. I didn't expect a lot of amens on that one. I want you to get this one more time. When we recognize the gods that we have placed above our God, because he is jealous and we call ourselves his children, he will always strive to destroy and dismantle what we have raised above him. So if you like what you've raised above him, pull it down quick before you lose it. So they took Dagon and set it back in his place. And they arose early the next morning. There was Dagon, fallen on its face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. I love this. The head of Dagon and both of the palms of his hands were broken off on the threshold. Only Dagon's torso was left of it. Now I want you to see this. The Bible declares that both hands and feet were broken off. The actual Hebrew word there was cut off. So what freaked these Philistines out so much that said, I've got to get the Ark of the Covenant out of our God's house, and I've got to get it out of our cities? This is what happened. When Dagon fell the second time, because they raised up their God the second time, God not only tipped him over and his head and palms came off, but watch. The Hebrew word says they were cut off. So when Dagon came down, it wasn't like a smashing. It was literally a severing of his head and a severing of his palms, which shows this powerful principle that God always will sever the gods that are in our lives if we continue to rest them and set them up. If we do not eradicate them, there will be a severing in our lives. It's a powerful word that you need to get a hold of. God will share his glory with no one. In America, we don't do that. You know, we don't have a half fish and half man in our living room. Some of you might have Buddha in your living room. You need to get Buddha out. Boot Buddha. We should do a little t-shirt. Boot Buddha. Boot Buddha. No. We do idols differently in America. What's an idol again? Anything that is placed above God. How can we recognize whether we have an idol in our life or not? Wherever you put your greatest time and your money is your greatest God. Where your heart is, there is your treasure. Where your heart is, there is your treasure. It's an easy treasure map. When you take out the treasure map of your life, it's very easy to see what the greatest treasure is in your life. Whether there are gods other than the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in your life. It's very easy to recognize. And I challenge us this morning because we do things in such a unique manner. We always strive to validate ourselves and to vindicate ourselves. And God is saying, no, this is not about vindication. This is not about self-validation. This is not about making it okay just for you. I am the Lord thy God, and I tell you, you shall worship no other gods. We are not serving a man. We are not serving a church. We are serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We are serving the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. We are serving the one who is and is to come. We are serving the one who changes not. We are serving the one who said, let there be and there was. We are serving the one who will be the soon coming King. We are serving the one who sits upon the throne, and there is no other. Can I hear an amen of the God that you serve? But we put up idols all over the place. One of the idols that we put up is our families. American families are very unique. And many parents place their children above God. It's a very interesting thing. We're going to do a baby dedication in the second service. Why are we doing a baby dedication? Well, a lot of people think, well, now that makes the child go to heaven. That's not what the Bible says at all. That's good religion, but bad Bible. All the baby dedication does is declare to the parents, I choose to raise my child with the love and admonition of the Lord. I will train them how to walk in God's presence. I will train them to make God number one in their life. I will train them how to pray. I will train them how to read the word. I will be the example to them so they will see that God is number one and not number two. In American families, we see that many times God takes the back seat in families, especially to the children. Hi, baby. Now, there's nothing wrong with children. There's nothing wrong with our families. In fact, God created them. But when they take precedent over God, then we're in a dangerous posture and position. Not that God will strip you of your family. Not that God will destroy your children. That's not the nature of our Father. He is a life giver and not a death giver. But the fact is that God is jealous and he desires to have himself as number one, for your family cannot save you when you call. Your family cannot heal your body when you're sick. Your family cannot give you eternal life. Your children, come on now. As important as they are, the number one principle is that we, according to the book of Deuteronomy, put frontlets upon their eyes, put the word of God on their wrists, speak God's word in the morning, in the afternoon, and the evening, so that they will obey God and walk in his precepts. But what happens now many times is the children, they do everything. Did you notice how evil the world is right now? They do most things on Sunday morning. Dismantling the family from the house of heaven. And some of us fall to that. Well, my child wants to play soccer. Listen, your child, unless they're a prodigy, and we have some prodigies within this house. Swimming prodigy. We have also a running prodigy that will make it probably to the Olympics and so on and so forth. They'll have a great testimony of the kingdom of God. But the majority of children that are in the house, they're great children and sports are good for them. They bring structure to their life. But what happens is when we give precedent over the children and our sports, we're teaching our kids that God is number one when you have nothing else to do. Well, that's not what I'm trying to teach my children. It doesn't matter what you're trying to teach your children. Your kids don't listen to your mouth. They watch your life. Whatever we place as number one in our life is what our children will place as number one in our life. We cannot be shocked when our kids live for hell if the families are living for hell, yet still coming to church on Sunday morning. Boy, it's awful quiet in the house this morning. Can I hear one more amen? Because whether you like it or not, I'm preaching good. The world has designed it so that God is now being extracted from our families. God is now being placed as number two and number three in our families. God is now, we know, not in our school systems. We know that God is now trying and will be, unless we see a big turnaround, will no longer be in our government. If they get their way, God will no longer be on a dollar. But remember that the family is the mirror of heaven. And the number one place to extract God is in the family. And if God can destroy the families, then the children will grow up without God. And whether you like it or not, we are facing a generation of those children right now. How can they be so disrespectful? Because they've been trained to be. How can they be so godless? They've been trained to be. How can they not go to the house of, listen, the younger generation right now under 18, the majority of them have never been to a church, not even for a funeral or for a wedding, because most of those now are in different locations. So we have a whole generation, the majority of them have never been in the house of God. And we don't understand why our country's going to hell. It's simple. Who you raise as the king is who the people will try to be like. Some people, they place what they like to do. If you're a motorcyclist And your Sunday morning now is writing instead of going to the house of God. Well, is this all about going to church? Where your heart is. Now, it's not that we don't go on vacations. Can I hear an amen? But there is truly something that we have to judge ourselves on is where we place our priority of our time and our finances literally determines where our heart is, where the treasure is. You know, somebody said to me, would you give your motorcycle away? Well, yes, I would. If God told me to give my bike away, I would have no problem doing that. They'd have to take the payment, but, you know, if it was paid off, I would have no problem giving my motorcycle away. My wife and I have given so many things away. Why is that? Because we've made a decision in our hearts. We will never place a thing above God. That's called idolatry or idol worship. When anything you have goes above God. I know hunters, they simply say, well, you know, I worship God when I'm in the trees. Really? Yeah, but not on a Sunday morning. Because he gets a text early Sunday mornings every time he's missing church during hunting season. Where are you? Are you in a tree? I'm praying that God gives you nothing. Am I lying?
No, you're not lying.
No, I'm not lying. I'll send him a text. You're going to get nothing. Why is that? Because many people make hunting their God. Many people make sports their God. I know people that no longer come to church because, especially in football season, they make sure they're at football. NASCAR. I still don't understand this. I don't know if I ever will. But I had a man once tell me, I can't come to church on Sundays anymore. And I said, well, why? He said, because, you know, I've got to be ready for the race at noon. I said, well, we have a 9 o'clock service. Yeah, but, you know, I've got to get ready. What, do you got to put your Dale Earnhardt underwear on and your socks and, you know, what's up? There are some people, they party so much. Their life is in the party. You taking pills? Oh, gross. He's putting Axe on. Stay away. Well, I love the Lord, but you live like hell on Saturday night. You can't make it to Sunday morning because you're so tired. Or when you do, you can't concentrate because you're dealing with the hangover. Some of your God is your bed. You slumber. Sunday morning rolls around and you got the stupid big teddy bear. Pray to your teddy bear the next time you need help. Pray to your pillow the next time you need help. Pray to your bed the next time you need help. Pray to your football team the next time you need help. Pray to the turkey the next time you need help. Pray to your motorcycle the next time you need help. Pray to your partying friends and your favorite alcoholic drink the next time you need help. Pray to NASCAR the next time you need help. Oh, you like to work a lot, don't you, sir? Some people put their work above God. They're workaholics. Everything they do is about God. Everything they do is about work. Everything that's driving them is about work. Some people, it's all about money. Everything is about finances. Well, I've got to have more money. I've got to stick more money away. I've got to have more money in my bank. I've got to money, 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 money. Pray to your money the next time you need help. There was a great man in our country that brought great change. He created a computer. A billionaire named Steve Jobs. When cancer came to his life, there was not enough money to save him. No matter how much money you got, no matter how good your job is, no matter how much you've got in your life,
These things will not save you. They cannot save you. Your children cannot save you. Your husband, your wife cannot save you. Some of you are trading your entire walk with God for a man or a woman. They cannot save you. They are an idol in your life. God has told you, step away. God has told you, take time off. God has told you, step away from your friend. God has told you, put me first, put me first, put me first, put me first. Get out of that stinking bed, you sluggard. Yet we don't put God first. We choose to be idol worshipers. Yet we don't seem to go and make anything out of wood. It's still the same principle. Who is number one in your life? Who is number one in your life? Who is number one in your life? And who that is, what that is, how foolish it is to be a what. At least you can talk to a who. Both will damn you. But if it's at least a who, you got someone to chat with. If it's a what, dude, you can't even pray and it'll just bounce off the matter. See, we've got to truly judge ourselves. We've got to sit back and say to ourselves, who is number one in our life? Where are we placing our seed? Am I an idol worship? God, what is the thing in my life that needs to come down? Where is that God, that one thing that I'm placing above you? I don't care what it is, Jesus. I will take it down. Listen, we've always declared it. You have God first, your family second, your ministry third. Come on now. And then you do your job. And all those things, when you put your line, your life in line, chaos will always disappear. When God is priority, lack will dissipate. But when God is placed where he's never supposed to be, you'll always find that he'll be a jealous God, and your God will fall on its face first. But if he can't get your attention that way, it will cut off the head in its palms. And this is where people get mad at God. What are you placing first in your life? Who truly is the number one God in your life? Someone once said to me, I don't care what you say. It was a guy. I don't care what you say. My wife's above God. I said, you're an idiot. Your wife can die. Then what do you got? Your wife could leave you. Then what do you have? You see, whatever is the highest priority in your life is where you put your worth. If God is number one in your life, there is where your worth is seated. But when a human or a football team or a motorcycle or your CERTA, when your job is number one, when the race car is number one, when Facebook is number one, when all these things precede your God, what happens when they go? Because that's where your worth is seated. You see, God doesn't say this in the book of Exodus to be harsh and vicious. He's saying this because he's saying, I don't get it. Why would you go to another God? Why would you go to a wooden Buddha? Why would you go to a drawn picture? Why would you go to a statue? Why would you go to your husband, your wife, or your children? Why would you go to these places when they cannot help you? I am the Lord thy God. I've made myself available through the blood of Jesus Christ for those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Why would you want something greater than me? It's deceptive. And I challenge you today to look at your life. What is it? What is it that we placed? Listen, like I said, I always deal with this before you do. God, what is it in my life? And you know, there are times I've had to put things down and walk away from them. Literally.
I knew a man who came. He got saved. He was a rock and roller. I mean, he was in the clubs all the time, very successful. And when he got saved, his guitar was his God. His performing was his God. He loved the feeding off of the frenzy that the people gave him when he was the rock star. And the Holy Spirit said, no more guitar, no more clubs. He said it was a horrible situation because it was a fight. I want to go to the bars. I want to do this. I feed off of that. But what it was that's where his worth was. He said, God, I'll serve you. He laid his guitar down, sat before God. And you know, within 2 years, the Lord said, good, pick it back up and play for me. You see, no matter what it is in your life, you place it above God, you're always going to lose. Isn't it weird? We know we're going to lose, but we still do it. We know we can't win by doing it this way, but we still do it this way, knowing we can't win. Does that make sense to anybody? So why do we do that? Why? Why, if we know that we are not going to have the prosperity that God wants for us, why do we know that it's a loss for our lives in the long run? Why do we know that it could cost us all of our eternity and they can't be there? There'll be no NASCAR in the lake of fire. There'll be a lot of turkeys. But there'll be nobody but you. I challenge you today to make God truly your God, the one and only. Now I'm going to tell you, to be honest with you, as the pastor, this is not a one-time event. This is a consistent thing that we always say, Father, whatever it would be that we're raising ourselves up, we submit it to you today in Jesus' name. And we ask in Jesus' name that, Lord, we step it down and we step you up. Some of you won't pray because you refuse to get up early. Some of you won't pick up your Bible because you hate reading. Some of you won't come to church simply because you can't get out of bed. It's a loss. And I just sensed in my spirit, my SWAT team can verify this. Two or three weeks ago, we sat down, we planned all of this. Because God's been speaking to me for weeks now on this. I don't know about you, man. I want my seed to produce the greatest crops and harvest that I've ever had in my life. I don't want lack in my life in any area. I don't want lack in love. I don't want lack in family. I don't want lack in goods. I don't want lack in faith. I don't want lack in any area of my life. So I am determined in my spirit to say, God, whatever I am placing above you in my life, I make a conscious decision that I will put it down and raise you up. I choose to be obedient. And Lord, I know that you love obedience above sacrifice. God, whatever it is, reveal it to me that I may make you number one in my life. And when you do that, you can't lose. When you do that, you can't lose. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. Amen. Bow your heads with me this morning. To be truthful, I didn't even hit my last point. I did try, Brother Bruce. There's a story in the Bible with Nebuchadnezzar. Three Hebrew boys. Nebuchadnezzar built an idol and said, when the herald comes, you will all fall down and worship. If you do not worship, I will throw you in the fiery furnace. And there were some boys, Hebrews, they loved God. And they said, we will not bow to your idol. They would not bow. And it made Nebuchadnezzar so mad that he fired the furnace up 7 times hotter than normal. He looked at the guards and he says, get them in the flames. It was so hot that the guards who threw them in burned alive. All of a sudden, Nebuchadnezzar looked into the fiery furnace and he didn't see 3, he saw 4. He said, I thought we just threw 3. And he said, we threw 3 in. Well, who's the 4th one? He looks as the one at the Son of God. You see, if you want the Son of God to be in the midst of your fires, if you want the Son of God to be there when it gets real hot, if you want the Son of God to be present in the midst of your trouble, I challenge you, do not bow to the idol, and God will always work for you. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you'd like him in your life. You want to say, I've served the devil, I served myself. Man, there are very few people that will actually say, I served the devil. But remember, if you're not serving God, you're not serving God, you're serving the devil. Today, if you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you want to say, God, I want to make you number one in my life. You want Jesus. I want you to raise your hand up right now. Is there anyone in the room that would like Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I'd like you to raise your hand up. I'm not going to parade you. I'm not going to embarrass you. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you very much. You can put it right back down. Is there anyone else this morning that would like Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior? I'm not going to wait real long. Come on. Get your hand up. 5, 4. Come on. Get your hand up. 3, 2. Last call. And 1. Let's all stand to our feet. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask in your name that you will reveal to us those things that we placed above you. Today, I want to do something very abnormal, very unusual. I'm going to ask if all the props will just, right off the front altar, will just step aside. I know we need to back the motorcycle out. But I believe there are times that you've got to grab a hold of some carpet. I believe there are times that you have just got to make some decisions and say, God, I'm going to make you number one. And in this house, you know that that's the passion. John 17:3, that they may know you and the one and the true God. Today, if you have an idol in your life and you just want to lay it down, whether it's your family, whether it's a sport, whether it's sleep, whether it's work, whether it's your computer, whether it's your partying, whether it's a male, whether it's a female, whether it's money, no matter what it is, you want to surrender that to the Lord. I want you to come right out of your chair right now and meet me right up front right now. Come on, you're going to have to be bold. You're going to have to be brave. Come on, come right out of your chair right now. Meet me right up front. You got idols you need to lay down at the altar. Come on, grab a piece of rug right there. Just get right down before Jesus. Get right down before Jesus. Listen, if there's only 3, then I've missed it. I've missed it. But I know there's a lot more than 3 of you in the room. And I pray that you're bold enough. I'm praying that you're going to make a decision that, God, I'm going to place you as number one. Why do I need to come up front? Why not? Declare him. Well, those people are weak. No, you're weak if you won't come. Weak and foolish. Well, that's not nice. I don't care if I'm nice. I'm not here to be nice. I'm here to make sure that you got your life in line. If you raise your hand for salvation, very good. Praise the Lord. Brother Randall's right over on this side. He's going to pray with you. Come on, find a place. And you know, this is what I want to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, Lord, I thank you for His Tabernacle Family Church. I thank you for the principles of your kingdom. I thank you for the principles of the seed. I thank you for the principles, God, that you are number one in our lives. Holy Spirit, we release the anointing right now. Hound of heaven, I ask that you will consistently put us in a position where we have to govern and judge our own lives. That we will not placate. We will not sit back and avow ourselves to where we are living in a place of deception. But God, we make a choice in the Spirit and we say to you, Holy Ghost, right now, please pry in our lives. Please convict us in our lives. Please realign us in our lives. We will submit to you, God, because we love you with our whole heart, our mind, our body, soul, and our strength. And we love our neighbor as ourselves. ourselves, and we will place no other gods before you. You're awesome. You're awesome, Jesus. You're awesome, Jesus. And we love you. Father, I speak blessing right now. Lord, as people leave the sanctuary, that, Lord, they'll reach their friends for you. That, God, their priority and passion will be for you. That, Jesus, they'll be driven for you. This week, Holy Spirit, we ask that you wake us up in the midnight hours when we refuse to listen during the daytime. That you will speak to us and our relationship with you will go to another plane and a place that will grow in Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen.
If you're a guest in the house today, we have a reception where we would love to greet you and get to shake your hand and introduce ourselves and talk for a few moments with you. If you'll go out the back doors and go down this set of hallways, we'll direct you into the room. So come right over and we'll greet you now.
There is no timetable around the altar. You stay as long as you want. It don't matter. In the middle of the service, I could give a flying leap. This is between you and God. You make it right, and that's all that matters. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. If I could have the prayer team come, just lay hands on them and encourage them in the